How's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good. Alright. So I guess as we get started, just before we get started on the new stuff, like, do you have any questions about any of the old material?
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
Yeah, good.
Alright, so I wanted to elaborate on that aural training that I sent you last week, actually. I believe we didn't really touch on it too much.
Yeah, I didn't have a chance to do it this week.
Okay.
I had less days this weekend than I thought I would.
Okay. Well, so that aural training exercise actually goes, it's going to tie in with the new kind of notes that I gave you today on intervals. So it's kind of nice that they all are kind of talking about the same concepts. So, and before even we get to that, actually, so I sent you the minor triad set for root position, so that'll kind of close that out, so you've covered all the minor root position ones. Just kind of follow suit with those and just keep going from set to set, you know. What even helps at this point, too, because you've done major triads and minor triads in each set and root position, to maybe even just call out a random... kind of a random category of the chords that you have. So you could do like major triad, root position, set three, and see how fast you can find that shape, you know.
Yeah, okay.
So that's a good exercise to do just to get yourself out of the very regimented way of doing them in the specific order that I've provided.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a good exercise for recall, more like a random recall that'll relate more to a playing scenario.
Cool.
Okay. So, with the aural training, exercise, what I have you doing is that you're going to work within that same perimeter of that major scale shape that I provided on the first one, just this one octave C major. But this time, rather than playing the scale, like, up and down like you were doing before, you're going to do it a little bit more, just from the root, just random intervals. And I have actually a specific sequence, just going, like, root to the fifth, you know, root to the third. I forget the specific order, but it's just doing it a little bit all from the root, just going to the different notes one after the other.
Yeah.
And so this, what this does for your hearing is that it gets you used to hearing the intervals, not just in that one format of playing from the root to the root, because you want to break out of that way, because that's obviously limiting, and it sounds like the scale... And you're learning all this stuff, obviously, to use it to make it sound more musical.
Yeah.
So the exercise is that you would start it with, playing the sequence that I have written. And while you're playing it, sing along with it. And just like the last oral training one, you'll also do it where you just play the root and then try to, guess or really try to quiz yourself on the next one. Not really guess. Sing the next interval. And see how well your accuracy is. Okay.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, I wanted to talk a little bit more about intervals. I'm just curious, have you had any kind of background in studying those?
Not really. I mean, I've been playing long enough that this is all familiar to me, but I don't think we ever spent any time on it in my lessons.
Okay. Yeah, so let's talk about it a little bit, because this to me... is when you really get to know scales a lot better than just their full form. Their full form is great for just knowing all the notes that are available in a particular scale right off the bat, just like instantly in one grouping of information. But when it comes time to actually using it when you're playing, you want to think a little bit smaller than that. And that to me is like where a lot of the interval studies kind of comes in. So, basically, the word interval kind of means two things, and I've written this all on that notes page. It means relationship between two notes and also distance. It's kind of one and the same. And actually, even each label of an interval, yeah, the sun's like being... each label of the interval is labeled such. So you'll have it, basically, it's the quality, so it could be either major, minor, perfect, augmented, or diminished. I'm going to scoot over because the sun is, like, hitting hard. It's like I'm sunbathing here. But, so yeah, major, minor, diminished, and augmented. And then, so that's half of the way we label intervals. And then the other half is the actual number distance. And that's just kind of like, yeah, if you're thinking from a root perspective, it's just the amount of letters or in the scale, how many notes apart from the, or away from the root it is. It's very much like a, I think of like an actual like inch ruler where the far left at the start is kind of where the root is. And every single note is not really equidistant. It's more of just like, you think of the second note, it's a major second. You know, think of the third note, it's a major third. You can think about it that way. Okay, again, a single line. Okay. Any questions so far about that?
Nope.
Okay. Yeah, so so what I have you doing here is actually just getting used to actually the labeling system from the root. Because eventually you'll do this for all of the different modes. But right now, let's just start on the root because everything's going to really relate back or reference back to these interval systems. Okay. Just kinda like the way like I showed you the major scale first and you kinda figured out how the different modes are built from that, you know?
Yeah.
So what you'll have, like if and I have you kinda starting on, I think it's most convenient to start on major scale shape one.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll start on the C, and what you'll do is as you're playing the shape, rather than like, start thinking differently. Rather than just playing the shape and memorizing it for the frets, start changing the way you think, and now start referring it to the actual intervals. Okay. So what that means, and I'm in, this is E-flat tuning, so it's just going to be one half step below. So it's... You know, I'm just going up, but so rather than just thinking, you know, 8, 10, 12, or even the fingers, I'm thinking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Now you can think of this, the root again as 1, or you can think of it as 8, kind of like the octave 2.
You know? Yeah.
So then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then back down. That's a really important, for so many different ways, like, or so many different reasons, like, when you're doing, like, soloing over chord progressions or anything, like, I think actually more intervals than I even think scales a lot of the time, because it kind of, you know, if you're soloing over progression, you have a kind of a relationship to the chord, and knowing kind of what intervals are considered consonant, which, you know, means, or chord tones, like the notes in the chord versus the ones that aren't, or passing tones. It's all intervallic kind of information that you're using there. Okay.
Yeah.
So what I have you just doing now is, yeah, just starting to label the scale in terms of those intervals.
Okay.
Now, that first step is kind of easy. Like, I just have you doing numbers, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 1. I'm not having you label so much the quality just yet. So,
yeah.
So we're doing the distance. So that's what I want you to do when you're doing the scale shapes. And you could actually go to all seven, since you're at that point that you've done all seven of them. So if you start on scale shape two, because it starts on two, this you would say two, three, four, five, six, seven, one, and so on.
Okay. Right.
And so far we're not thinking in terms of modes, we're thinking more so from the parent scale, which is, you know, we're in C Ionian, the C major scale, so C is the ultimate root. When we get a little deeper into the modes, we'll start kind of adjusting it to, like, those different roots. But for now, just everything is from the C perspective if you're working with C major.
Right.
Make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So... So that's what I would say to start doing, because it seems like you really, you memorize those shapes pretty quickly, and I think this is where, like, go back into them, still work on this memorization process, but just give, provide more detailed information for these scales.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So the next, little bit that I have there is just going back to, like, one octave of the scale, and, basically, from the root, now you're actually just labeling the different intervals, kind of going back to the root to a new interval. So what I mean by that is if we start with C, you have C to D is a major second. Then go back to C. T to E is a major third, then C to F was a perfect fourth, then C to G, perfect fourth, C to A is a major sixth, C to B is a major seventh, and then C is a perfect eighth. And I forgot the unison there, which is just the same note.
Okay. Right.
Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, and what helps is you could even add the, especially with this one, it's almost like you can blend in some of that aural training work and actually sing those intervals a little bit. So going bum, 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 bum. Like, you could even, it even helps actually rather than just using those kind of random syllables. More like use the numbers, you know. 1, 2, 1, 3, 1, 4. So that you're memorizing them. Because that's actually reflective of even like whenever you have a chord progression, you're hearing that harmonic movement. Like, if you had, like, you hear the bass notes moving up a fourth. That's what you're hearing. So it's the intervals is just like a segment of that, and that's what it's kind of leading towards your ear training.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I would say to work on with those intervals. Just try to get them memorized. And why start with just from the major perspective, because when we move on to even like any kind of other scale, like any mode, maybe even melodic minor, harmonic minor, you know, pentatonic scale, we're still going to reference most of the major scales, intervallic setup of, you know, the unison, major second, major third, perfect fourth, perfect fifth, major sixth, major seventh. And then we're just going to slightly alter a couple things to get us to know, like, the new scale. Okay. And that's, like, a lot of times if you've ever seen that. Like, it's, like, the same. Flatten the third, keep the sixth, and keep the seventh. Kind of, that's, like, actually the melodic minor scale. It's important to know what those notes are in any given key. Okay.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, yeah, the last thing I want to mention is that we're kind of labeling these as simple intervals. What that means is that we're just kind of keeping it within the octave. And I know, like, even when if you do this within the, or when you do this within the bigger scale shape, that you're actually going past an octave, I still want you to label it with the numbers 1 through 8 for now, because and then that means we're keeping it in the simple interval kind of form, which is just within an octave. Whenever you have, like, the numbers, like, 9, 11, 13, kind of anything above 8, that those are compound intervals. So you might be technically playing it, but I want you to just start with, like, seeing it from kind of the smaller, simple intervals. But you can see where we're leading with, like, even chord construction. If you've ever seen, like, a big chord, like a C major 7, 9, and you're just like, what the heck is that? How do I build that? This is what we're getting at. It's like it's all the study of intervals and knowing the distances, because that's just a C major, so you have the notes in C major. You add a major seventh on that, on top of that, and then you would add a 9 on that. So you can see it's all intervallic studies.
Yeah. Cool.
Any questions on that?
I don't think so. I guess just in terms of, like, day-to-day practicing. So one, there's two different things here, right? So one's oral training, aural training, and how am I doing these in terms of just practicing? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so what I suggest with
your just a lot of, like, information, so I want to make sure I'm.
Yeah, they're kind of, what I want you to do is, rather than thinking of them as separate, because, and they can kind of be seen that way, is kind of blend them into one exercise. So I would categorize this as your major scale studies, you know, like your actual scale practices, like practicing the sequences. So being that, you know, you could still work on the memorization of these shapes, even if you think you know it very well, this is still part of that process. So you're it's really, like, the way you've been practicing the scale shapes has been just, like, memorizing, like, the fingerings and the shapes, But so you can, you're still doing that, but you're just adding, your mind's thinking about it differently. You're adding that extra thought involved. So that means it's going to slow you down just a hair, and that's okay, yeah, because you want, like, eventually what you're moving into is morphing that into one thought. Like, I play this note, I think root, I think C, and I like, when I move around, and I guess if I change notes, I'm thinking intervals, I'm thinking interval, I'm thinking note, and I'm thinking what scale I'm in, you know, all in one shot, you know, and, so it's getting you into, that frame of reference, that frame of thinking, okay. Since up until this point you've been practicing these scales, like, from a technical standpoint, working on directional picking, just continue doing that, but just start thinking 1, 2, 3, and it's just, you're labeling them differently. So in a way, it's the same exercise with just an extra bit of information. And then what you can do is, like, maybe I'd suggest do that first, quite a bit of throughout all of the shapes. And then after you've done that for quite a bit of time, maybe like 15 to 20 minutes, continue doing that, but now do the singing part. Like, insert that aspect of this information, you know.
Okay.
So maybe that's the only thing that would be separate. Because it is a lot to... I mean, you could also, as you're playing it, sing it too. So you could make it almost like a four-dimensional study here, where it's like practicing the shapes, practicing technique, recalling the intervals, and singing. It's not impossible, but don't expect to breeze through this. And you shouldn't be anyway. You know, you should really be... concentrating on retaining this information, all of those different segments of this information. Okay.
Yeah.
So
cool.
It helps to do with it with a metronome, you know, just keep your timing really even and
I'm doing everything with a metronome now. It's been super helpful.
Cool. Awesome.
Yeah, I just want to make sure I'm doing the right thing when I'm actually practicing. So I know it's a little redundant, but I just want to clarify.
Yeah, and so something else I did too, I provided you with a template, or like a six fret and a template, where you can actually, like, away from the guitar too, just like maybe make some copies of it all on one page or something. And just start labeling it as if, like, away from your guitar to kind of really test if you know it that well. And so with that being said, whenever you're practicing these intervals, and we haven't really talked about this because I just kind of provided the shapes. Whenever you're practicing these intervals, think about the geometry from the root. You know, where I think major, second, and it's okay, 2 frets above it. Sorry, the sun's like glaring. Okay, 2 frets above it, and then, you know, I think major third is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You know, it's just like 2 whole steps above it. You could think about it like that. Any way that helps you, you know, it's all geometry, really. And then the fourth is just, you just dip that finger up, you know, a string, just right underneath it. And of course, it changes when you get to the G to the B. Everything shifts up, so beware of that. And then you have the fifth, which is just like a power chord, really.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have the six, and then the seven. So, and then you've probably played this playing punk music, you know, like the octave as well. So you have those two downs, and it's that same thought process. You know, at one point you memorize a power chord, maybe just physically, or who knows if you just kind of even told yourself something about this to help you remember it. You could do that with the rest of them. So in a way, you're already 1, 2, and then you have 1, 2, 3, 4, like 5 more things to memorize. And that's what I think. It's like they're just different little steps almost. And they are actually steps. You know, they're steps right back to the root. And I'm just trying to memorize their look. Okay. That template is there to, like, if another exercise, if you're away from the guitar... you know, you could just make some printouts of that, or even, you know, at the end, after you've done a lot of the stuff on the fretboard, maybe afterwards, see how well you've retained that, and just, without holding the guitar, just see if you can write it out. And you can see in that page that I've numbered them, kind of, and that's the same way you could do it, just kind of number the root and the 1, 2, 3, like just do it by numbers.
I write in my practice journal is a bullet journal, so it's got grid lines. So I've actually I recreate
references
and stuff.
Yeah.
So,
that's awesome.
I'll do it.
Cool. Yeah, you can do it again. It's this is where it gets kinda heavy, where it's like, you know, you got the scale shapes down, but it's like now memorizing all those intervals and all seven shapes is a lot of work, you know, but it's but what I want you to find is the things that are similar. Like if we go to shape 5, we have the root here. You can see it's just the same start of the shape 1, just starting on the A string. So that means the intervals are the same. You have the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, back to the 8, you know, it matches. So find those little repetitive moments within these shapes. And this intervals are going to help you do that, you know.
Awesome. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. That's awesome.
Yeah, like you can see it again here, like this this root shape. The only thing is that it shifts up because of the B string. You know, so this should help you navigate the fretboard a little bit better. And what's great too, it's that singing the intervals is gonna help you and really memorize the sound of the major scale a lot better, and so that maybe when you're, you know, improvising, well, I think the goal is to kind of sing things in your head and be able to actually know exactly how to play it under your fingertips, because you just have that kind of connection. And again, it's intervals are just like little segments you're creating melodies, you know. So another thing you could take note of is that with intervals you can play them two ways. We've just been focusing on the melodic way, just one note at a time. But remember, whenever you play intervals together, and you have to do this in a different shape, this is actually the Aeolian shape 6. When you go from 1 to 2, if you were to play those together, you have these almost like mini chords. They're actually not technically chords, because the definition of a chord is 3 or more notes at the same time. What these are considered are dyads. But these are really awesome, convenient. So you can kind of breeze through them easily.
Yeah. When I was 17 or 16, the band that we were playing in, Ben from Hard Sounds, like, we were discovering that you can play melodic, major, minor, dyads instead of power chords.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, shit, we can play music completely different way now. It's awesome.
Yeah, it makes your playing more melodic, or it makes your chordal, voicings more melodic than, the power chord's great, it has a lot of power, you know, but it's like, if you want some movement, especially surrounding that power chord, that's a good way of doing it. Like, even just an example here, here's the perfect fifth. That's actually Paranoid? Black Sabbath? Yeah. Yeah, that's exact. And okay, so actually, that gets me to my next point. So, something you can do, and I didn't write this in that interval practice, but I can send you a little, a little to do with the interval practice, is that as you're kind of singing them along, is that you can make almost somewhat like a playlist or a list of all of the examples that you've heard these intervals being used. Some of the obvious, actually right there, that's more of a movement from a perfect fourth to a perfect fifth harmonically. The way I'd suggest, I wouldn't suggest doing, I guess you could, but the point is, it's engraving it in your head. Like, you're always going to remember it because you know that sound so well, and then recording, you've now made sense of it, theoretically, on the fretboard, too. And so it helps for recall. That's the whole point of this exercise. And it could be anything, really. And the examples that are kind of, the ones I think of, perfect fourth is, Here Comes the Bride. You know, and what that helps is that if I'm kind of singing something in my head and I hear it resembles that, I know exactly how to get that sound, you know. And then, you can, again, we haven't Well, you could do this with all of these intervals, the major seventh ones. Like, I know the octave is somewhere over the rainbow. And those are ascending. You could also do descending. So the whole point is, like, try to get as many under each category. So you'd have one for you know, major second, major third, perfect fourth, perfect fifth, major sixth, major seventh, octave. So for now, you know, there's still more intervals to do, but you can do that. Like, I think actually, you know, is showing my interest in punk, like, back in the day, like, when I was horrible. But, like, is it boom, boom? Like, major second, I thought of, like, that solo by Rancid Radio. Like, what is it? The boom, boom, boom. Like, funny, but it's, like, that little thing. It's, like, if I play any random note, and I think of what the sound of the major second is from that boom, boom. See how I'm able to figure that out? Because it's that little reference, it's that melody. It's a very simple melody that helped me get there. So that's actually, I mean, I know I'm stacking up a lot within this interval training and studies, but that's crucial, I feel like. Because that's what you want, is that kind of fluency in the fretboard, and you want to be able to use this stuff and feel like you've mastered it, to where it's like you never have to think about it again. You're not, like, my goal with, like, how much I practice is, like, I just want to be able to use this stuff, you know, and just feel like it's, like, I'm free from, like, having to think about it. It's just like, oh, I just know this. But it takes a lot of repetition, a lot of practicing to get to that point. But it's not impossible. You can see that, like, I like to provide kind of simple exercises to kind of get you there, things that are attainable. And this one, I think, is one of the most, like simplest and almost fun, you know, to just, there's no limit to how many, like, examples of major seconds you can find. Like, another one is actually that beginning of the Red Hot Chili Peppers song. What the heck is it? It's like, like, yeah, major second, right there. It's like, you'll never forget it, you know? So that's what I'd actually even recommend too, as like a little side exercise, is find the simplest of melodies, and don't go, it's like, it's only the first two notes you're really finding. It's something that you really know that's like embedded in your system, and use that as a way to memorize the sounds of these. Because then what you'll do is, like, on top of memorizing the sound, you'll label it, like, this is a major second, and then you'll label how it looks on the fretboard. So that's how you get to a point where it's like, if you were to play this note to that note, there's no mystery on, like, I wonder what this is going to sound like. You know, you're just like, bam, I know exactly, because I put in the legwork to be like, that's a major second. And look, and thanks to Red Hot Chili Peppers and Rancid, you know, that's a major second interval in sound. Like, you just have that, like, those references to help you just know it, you know.
Yeah,
so that's what I'd really just recommend with all that stuff. Any questions so far about any of the interval study stuff?
No, that's great. It's going to be fun to find the reference songs.
Yeah, it is kind of goofy, because even some, I actually still, like, even though I know this stuff, it's like, I still add on to them, like anything that I could find, like, even, like, I forget what the Stranger Things, like, soundtrack, you know, it's like, but that, yeah, it's, yeah. Like, that's, like, a, like, anything, too, that's a little bit weirder, or not weirder, just a little bit, maybe more dissonant, too, I'm like, oh, what's that, like, it'll help me kind of know how to navigate on the fretboard out of the major scale parameters, too, so, yeah, just, anything you, like, really know, soundtracks are great for that, like, we haven't done the, minor second, but obviously it's like Jaws is the minor second. That's the smallest interval, besides the unison, as the smallest interval in music. We'll do that when we talk more, like, and different scales and stuff. But for now, I want you to just stick from the root, from the major scale, from the root, and then we'll kind of branch off from that. Okay. This stuff's important too, because this is going to get you into understanding chord construction, and like, for now, I've just kind of provided you with shapes very similar to the scale, like, you practicing those scale shapes is that it's like you first learn like the actual outline of it on the fretboard, and then we start plugging in more information that's has you more understand its construction, you know, where it's derived and how it's used. So that's where we're leading with this stuff, you know. It's like right now the chords and the scales have been very separate, but that's how they're going to combine, is actually with this interval practice, is kind of, we'll start moving towards more like formulaic kind of concepts.
Yeah.
Cool. So yeah, what I'd suggest is keep practicing those. I guess at this point you have, if I'm not mistaken, 8 shapes or something like that. Like the 4 sets of major root position, 4 sets of minor root position. Keep doing those and start testing yourself, just calling a kind of category of set by randomly, seeing how good your recall is. And then keep working on the major scale shapes. Within the C major scale, start plugging in the intervals. I know we talked about the circle of fifths last time, so if you still want to navigate through maybe going to G major, doing the shapes, but not plugging in intervals just yet, you can do that if you feel like, oh, I can still practice. I'd like to practice these scales maybe in a different place and reiterate like that the way that you navigate through the circle of fifths. Okay?
Yeah. Cool. I have one small question / clarification.
Mm-hmm.
I realized when I was doing, I forget what set it is now, but the set that's like, that's moving the major scale around like that.
Mm-hmm.
As I was doing that, I started beating myself up because I couldn't move that chord shape fast enough. And I realized that I've been letting them all ring at the same time when I've been playing them. And I should really be... Should we do it one at a time, right?
Yeah, that's the way that I've intended, because you're practicing directional and, like, sweep picking, and it's more of a melodic way that I provided. But you can practice it where it's more held as well. Like, it's just going to provide you a different sound. It's more harmonic, where you have the notes are kind of ringing into each other, so creating a bigger sound. You can practice both, really. There's no limit. And maybe it is good that you practice both, because it's like, if you notice that maybe one is challenging, you can kind of clean that up. What I noticed from the shapes, and look out for this, is that there was a little bit of yanking from the strings, and that can happen if it's like a shape that's maybe new or maybe slightly uncomfortable at this stage. It helps to play in front of the mirror or something. Yeah, and the pinky and ring finger tend to be the ones that are a little bit behind. So yeah, just look out for that, because you might be changing the pitch. Just try to keep it really as relaxed as you can. A firm grip, but not any kind of yanking. And yeah, like I said, playing in front of the mirror can help, or even videotaping yourself, like, practicing something and just taking an overview of what's going on.
Yeah, cool.
Right on. Well, nice work. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks for working my schedule this week, but we should be all good for next week.
All right, awesome. Have a blast on tour.
Oh, thanks. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, later.
Bye.
Bye.